Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though you are taking a screenshot of your coworker's desktop to use as a background after you hide the actual desktop shortcuts, take a prank break and listen to Battleborn Tech Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific, broadcasting on FM 95.1 and streaming live and on demand at knbc.org. Wondering if it's a new Windows feature or an old April Fool's joke? Call Battleborn Tech, 775-241-3571. Let us troubleshoot that sticker the office jokester put under your mouse, 775-241-3571. Opinions on Battleborn Tech are those of the host and callers. This week, we welcome Lee, Donna, and Lee again. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of KNVC or Computer Corps. They are too busy swapping extensions on the office speed dial buttons. Another classic.
Well, I was looking at my email and my phone and the WhatsApp, and I see Anthony has been burning up the bandwidth. Well, what's Anthony got for us?
Our ex post facto checker does not disappoint. He wants us to give a shout out to Mitch about another internet service provider in the area, in addition to AT&T fiber cable with Spectrum, satellite with Starlink, wireless with Sky Fiber. He wanted Mitch to check out NetNV. He also wanted to say, you know, that router band we talked about is a cut and paste of late last year's drone ban on unmanned aircraft systems or drones. So, if you're looking for a drone or a router, better hurry on out there and buy one, because they might get pretty scarce after the inventory we have now is sold out. So stay tuned.
Well, the state, the government wants the sole monopoly on surveillance. So there you have it. All right. Here's our first call of the day. This is Lee. And Lee, well, scanners. How many of us still have a scanner?
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Christy. This is Linux Lee again.
And hey, Linux Lee, what's going on? Are you deep in Linux? Are you looking at Zorin? Yeah, Ubuntu. What do you have to have?
Well, I've got a new. I'm working with a ThinkPad now that has Debian on it. And
okay,
this is not a Linux question exactly, but I've got a scanner and I want to start scanning. I've got a bunch of electronic components and things I want to scan and look up on eBay and so forth.
Okay. Are you talking about a flatbed scanner, like on a tabletop, like on a printer?
It's like one of the guns that they shoot your barcode at Costco.
Okay. All right. I'm with you now. I got the image in my head. Okay. So what happens? You got the gun. You're shooting the gun. And
I shoot it and it shoots the barcode and goes beep.
Okay, you get a beep. Well, that's great. That's helpful. You get a beep, and you see perhaps a light somewhere coming out of it on the thing, maybe, or not?
It's got a little blue sort of light that's on, and when I shoot it, the light blinks.
All right, and then you hear a beep when you hit you're scanning a barcode on the part, I imagine?
I'm scanning a barcode on a RAM, computer RAM.
Sure. All right. And it does beep, and then what happens?
Well, then it should be, I'm trying to make that go into a spreadsheet.
Okay.
And,
and does it? Or garbage comes in, or what happens?
That's what I was told it would do. That's the way they do it at Computer Corps when they're inventorying. There's a lot of people who use it. So,
but nothing happens, or what? Smoke comes out? What? Or nothing? What are we talking?
Nothing. But then, I've got it plugged in. It plugs in. It's got this sort of holster thing that it's in the holster.
If you get the beep, you're way down the road of connecting it properly. I think you got it properly. If it's it's working, it's on, the power's on, it's seeing the barcodes beeping. But here's the thing. Here's the tricky part. Scanners, are you familiar with, are you a science guy about light? You know, light can be a, both a particle and a wave. Did you know that at the same time? It's both a particle and a wave?
My Uncle Einstein told me that.
Okay, all right. So a scanner can be both a serial device and a keyboard at the same time. For those of you that aren't following along, why are you listening to this program? But if you're not, you can think about it as Reese's peanut butter cup, in that you get chocolate in my peanut butter. No, you got peanut butter in my chocolate. It's two things at once is the problem. Or the opportunity. Okay. So what you got, depending on what mode it is, it could be out of the box. It could be the old mode. That's CDC, communication device class, boring. Oh, but what that is, it's like the old RS-232 serial connections. You remember that? The little penny thing, an oval. Yeah. We used to love those things. So back in the day when they went from, went over to USB, everybody starts screaming, goes, hey, we got all these COM ports and serial things that programs that are looking for on the serial port for stuff, and we don't got that fancy USB. So they said, no worries, no worries. We're going to make it pretend to be plugged into an RS-232 port on, like, COM 3, okay? Or for you Linux people, device/TTY USB 0, okay? And so that is the old mode. That's perfectly fine mode. It's just a serial mode, CDC, so that's fine. No worries. That was the early 2000s, late 90s kind of thing. And it just transitioned. Now we say, we don't use those anymore. You need a special program that listens to the COM port, and that's what everybody used to do, but we don't do that no more. We just want to dump it into our spreadsheet. So the other ways goes is HID mode, which is human interface device, but let's just call it what it is, keyboard, okay? You can tell the scanner, USB is a wonderful thing, and it's a little dangerous too, because USB can tells the computer what it is. You plug in the USB, and it says, hi, I'm a whatever it wants to be. So it says, it could say it's a USB memory stick. It could say it's a keyboard. It could say it's a serial port. It could, and you know, computers just up and trust and say fine. So what do you want to do? You want to tell the computer, hey, this, what I bet's happening. Hey, it's not a serial port. This is a keyboard. So what do they do? Well, you got to change the mode. Don't mode me in, but there you go. So what you want to do is the way they did it, since they already have the scanner, and it already knows how to pick up barcodes. Somewhere in the manual, there is a QR code or a barcode, if you've got a really old one, QR code, and you scan that, and it flips it over to a keyboard. Okay? So what you want to do, you want to get that manual, and it, instead of putting a switch on it, because that would cost money and be confusing, they just put in the brains that if you see this QR code or barcode, switch, become a keyboard. Boom, you are now a keyboard. And then it'll be fine. You'll plug it into USB. Then it'll talk, it'll type instead of serial across the line. So that's what you need to do. You need to find that all important, QR or keyboard or, scan code to flip it over. A little weird to set up a scanner that, but you know, you think about it a while, huh? You already have the scanner. Why not just use it for options? You know?
So this scanner has a QR code printed on the side there.
Okay, that's probably what it'll probably either flip it back, and I would hope it'll flip it from serial to keyboard, keyboard to serial, because that's pretty much the only control you want anymore. It used to be, oh my gosh, Lee, there used to be competing encoding ways of barcode. Different barcodes there used to be different ways of talking. It's like, you know, different languages or at least different dialects, but we're pretty settled now. So all you got to do is flip it between keyboard or serial, CDC or HID. So go ahead and do that. Plug it in. Away you go, and you should be good to go.
It does it. Yes, it does.
Oh, okay. Good.
I see, says the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
Well, you know, there's not many things that you got to go find a QR code to change the options, but that's one of them. So there you are. All right. All right. Well, scan away, my scanners. Scan away there, Lee. And thanks for calling.
Thank you, Christy. Right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, USB can be anything it says it being. And that's a huge security risk, too, because sometimes USB will sneak in, plug it in, and it says it's a keyboard and starts throwing commands into your computer. That's both a strength and a problem with USB. But I know Lee will get it straightened which one he wants, and he'll be able to use his scanner as a keyboard instead of as a serial input device from yesteryears go by.
I still remember my old scanner had a SCSI interface. Yes, SCSI.
SCSI and scanners went together for quite a long time. How many can you link up before you get drop-offs? Can you do 4, 5, 7, 8?
Well, with my setup, I could get to 1, maybe 2, before I fall off the edge of the map. We got another phone call here. This is Donna, and she can't find her way home. We're going to help guide her home in WordPress, of course.
Go ahead, call her.
Hi, this is Donna. I am having trouble with my WordPress site.
Right into it. I love it. So, Donna, you're having trouble with your WordPress site. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm about to throw the computer out the window.
Oh, okay. That's the kind of calls we like, because low bar for helping, I believe. Okay, no new
options.
All right. So what's going on?
So we have a site. Oh, I don't know what theme it's using, but it's a basic WordPress site. I've updated lots of pages and events. Okay. I cannot fix the homepage. I don't know why.
Ah.
I can't. When I open up the page, you know, you go to pages, you open it up, click on the page, edit, whatever. It's blank. I don't know how.
Yeah.
And I've looked at like the appearance and the settings, and I don't know how to get there.
Okay, so what you're doing? The homepage is a special page. Special. I bet you the theme uses a bunch of what's called widgets.
Oh,
on it.
Okay.
So you're going to have to usually they hide it in different places, but definitely not under pages where you would expect.
Naturally.
Just no. So it's usually under appearance, sometimes under theme options.
I hate theme options.
But definitely under appearance, you want to look at that, and then you want to look till you see a bunch of widgets stacked up on the right, and you want to print out the widgets and all that. Now,
widgets on the right. Wait. Widgets on the right, not on the left.
Yeah. Well, if you can get there, it depends on the theme. If you can get there, whatever way you get there, it's probably under appearance widgets. But if you got a place at the top menu that says widgets, you can go there.
Yeah.
But what you're looking for is the one that describes the theme. It's under the control of theme. The other thing is that WordPress isn't like a WYSIWYG, you know, word processing thing. It's a content management system. So it brings in content from a database and arranges it up on, I'm waving my hands, arranges it up on the pages everywhere, and dynamically creates a page that really doesn't exist anywhere on the computer.
Okay. Except, so this is probably a widget pulling data from something else.
Right. Added. And one of the other things, you may have to dig down if you have a location. You may have to dig down and get into another widget to change the location. And then,
we do have a map, a little map. I bet I've never used that before. That's probably the location thing, huh?
Okay. So look close to that, because not only a map, it probably has a little text box that talks about it too. Get in your head, you're not editing a word processing document. You're editing a database that creates a page.
Okay.
Once you make that flip, WordPress is a lot easier.
Well, that makes sense.
It took me a couple days to get my head around it, but
It used to be easier than it is now. It has outpaced
everything.
Me a bit.
That's true with everything.
That is
all
true.
Right.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Thanks for calling, Battleborn
Tech. Thank you.
Hey, send me the link to Battleborn Tech. We'll see how you did.
Okay, cool. I will.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, the great thing about WordPress is that it is very versatile in that it's a database that sits out on your web server, and then when somebody comes to look at it, it puts up a web page, and it does that especially on the home page. You can make a static page a home page, and that's what Donna was finding. She was finding that decoy static page, but she had switched it over, or her webmaster switched it over to dynamic, and so it was taking it out of the database. So you got to go into the database and find the entries in various spots where the widgets were grabbing the info and throwing it up there. It's a great thing. It's a maddening thing trying to find those things. You know, Joe, I've quit in the red. I've never read the instructions, but I used to Google them or search them or Yahoo them or whatever you want to do, Bing them. But I've started using AI, and I said, using this software program and these options and this theme, how do I, and then I just say it. And it's usually pretty good. You got to watch it. Sometimes it's the version behind, and then you just got to complain, that doesn't work, I don't see it. And then I'll check again, sometimes get it right. So there's a tip. If you're trying to figure out how in the world do I do something with this program, take a look at AI to see if it can help you, guide you, and point you in the right direction.
Oh, dear. So you're off there in the wilderness vibe coding.
Well, I don't know if it's vibe coding. I did do a vibe coding project. It was a lot of fun. I revisited one of my old projects just to see what it could do. It did a very good job. Half the time was trying to get the formatting right. Computers don't understand formatting too well.
All right. Got another phone call here. This is Lee with a callback. And Lee wants to talk more about installing Linux.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Christy. This is Lee, Linux hey, Lee again. And hey, boy, am I loaded for bear this morning.
All right.
I got a brand new.
Is that the way bear goes? I don't know. Rawr. I don't know what it is. Go ahead. No,
something like that. So I got a brand new ThinkPad. I love ThinkPads.
Okay.
And it has Debian on it.
Okay.
And what I want to do is
For our friends and neighbors at home, Debian is a flavor, a distro of Linux. Okay, go ahead. Well, family.
Yes, and it's a tasty flavor. I have to say that. And so I went to Linux, LibreOffice.com, and
okay.
I got the download, and it's got this thing that says, download LibreOffice 26.2, choose your operating system, Linux 64-bit Debian, which I think is the operating system.
No, you're good. You're good so far. You're going the long way. Going the long way. But go ahead. Let's see how far you get. Go.
Okay. So I clicked it.
Then
it said, "Oh, would you like to give a donation while you're waiting for the download?"
Well, moving on. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So I won't give you my credit card number, but I did donate a little bit.
Okay.
And now it's down.
Salute supporting open source. Free software, great. Okay, so go ahead.
So it downloaded it.
Yeah.
Actually, I just clicked it, so now it's downloading it again.
Okay.
And it says open when complete, and that's where I got stuck because it just nothing happened.
Yeah, you kind of went the hard way there, Lee. Your Windows roots are showing. You need to go to the Linux salon and get those touched up, buddy, because you're looking like a Windows person. The whole download and install kind of thing, that's kind of a Windows thing. So, although, you know, they're getting away from that. They're kind of moving on over to package installers with WinGet. I use WinGet on a lot of the machines that come into the shop to update everybody at once. But here's the deal. You can do that. I mean, okay. And that's if you want, oh, my gosh, I need the bleeding edge. The last one on the website before anyone else gets it, I need to go and get it off the website fresh. Well, okay.
Yes.
Well, you could do that. And that works. It's a long way to go. You got to, because what you're downloading, you know, like on the Windows side, you download a zip thing maybe. You've heard of the zips maybe. Zip files, a whole bunch of files. So what you're downloading, I bet it says .deb. Did you even find where it downloaded it?
This is 207 megabytes.
And does it end with a .deb extension at the end?
This one says LibreOffice /26.linux/x86-64/deb.
There you go.
.dar.gz.
There you go. So you got a dead package, and you got a .tar, which is a, called Tarbell kind of thing, and a GZ. So what you got? You got a compressed version package of all the files in LibreOffice, which is fine. Yeah. So you're gonna have to get on down into the command line, the bash line there, and Debian, and do a tar command, and then get all the files out. Tar hyphen x. I'm telling you this, but don't do it. Tar hyphen xvf libre underline star dot tar dot gz. Then you got to switch over to the LibreOffice underline star slash debs, and you got to make sure you get the unload the file in the correct subdirectory. It's really a pain. Lee, I don't think you want to go that way. So remember one of the other times we talked about Flatpaks, and we talked about sudo app. Yeah, we talked about sudo app update. Okay, so you could just forget that file you downloaded. God bless you for downloading.
Okay.
And donating. Nice. But what you want to do, if you get the whole package in, it's just two commands. You drop down, and it's a good old sudo apt update, just to be clean and fresh and new. And then the sudo apt install LibreOffice. And that will run out and get it from your package manager. Will run out there and get it and bring it in from the repository and install it for you. Yay! So those two commands.
Okay.
You really don't need the update, but it's cleaner and better.
I thought sudo was spelled P-S-E-U-D-O.
Yeah. It's spelled like it's out, S-U-D-O. So that's like the I don't know, the baby way of doing it. You can do that, and that's perfectly fine. Now, remember, I don't think you have Flatpak on Debian. So you can install that first, and that's another kind of package manager. That's nice, different kind of things. So you drop on down to bash to the command line and do sudo apt install Flatpak. So then you got it. Then you can use Flatpak in the next line. Do Flatpak install flathub org.libreoffice.libreoffice and get it with that. And then so then that gets you Flatpak and LibreOffice, and then you can run it with flatpakrun.org.libreoffice. You know, these things are, you know, obviously I'm looking these up, and you can do that. But Lee, I mean, why borrow trouble if the second option we gave, the sudo app update, sudo app install LibreOffice, works for you, you know, Yahoo.
How do you spell app?
APT. APT.
That's not app. That's apt.
Okay, apt.
Not app. It's apt.
That's right. Oh, good. I got a radio voice
sure
coach.
Spelling right.
I did a radio voice coach.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something to be burned in your mind. Sudo apt update. Now, other versions of Linux, I don't know about Debian, because Debian's kind of a, you know, power user kind of thing, has software managers in the GUI, in the menu on the desktop, and you can use the software manager and not even drop down to the command line to get things like LibreOffice. And actually, maybe, you know, like Linux Mint and others distro, just throw LibreOffice right in their default install. But Debian is kind of more pure. If they don't give you anything.
That,
yeah. Okay. So, I'd go that way. If you want to wrestle and learn, I mean, that's a fine thing to learn. To learn how to use DEB packages or tar packages, and learn how to move around the subdirectories and get them in the right place and update them and DP package, but. I mean, that's hardcore Debian. Maybe you want to be a hardcore Debian guy. That'd be okay.
Well, not really. I love this ThinkPad, and Debian was on it. That's what they gave me to use.
Okay. Yeah. So, ThinkPad has a history or a reputation of being a really good home for Linux. A lot of folks love the way Linux works on ThinkPad going way back. So, yeah, good choice there.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Okay.
Well, thank
you so much.
Well, off Have you go on LibreOffice. All right.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to install software in Linux. It's not just Windows one size fits all, where you download a program, install a program, whether it's an XE or an MSI bundle or a zip that you take out and get an XE or MSI. But most people may not want to just do it that way, downloading some kind of image and then taking it in the tar file and compressing it and putting it in the right directory, all that stuff. You may want to do it from the software repository by the command line, sudo apt-get like we went over. But I think most people, as it's moving along, are going to want to use the graphical interface and finding the menu, the software installation, and go ahead and let the GUI, the graphical user interface, bring you all along and have you install it that way. Also, if you're looking at distros, different types of Linux that are out there, different ones have different built-in programs, and you may decide on a distro by what's already built in. For example, there's Studio Builds that has a lot of video and photo processing software built in. So take a thought about that. It goes not only about what's in the basic operating system, but what apps come with the build. Maybe that's going to make a decision for you.
All right. Well, I think we've come to the end of the show. And how about some words of wisdom going out?
This has been Battleborn Tech. Call or text 775-241-3571 anytime from anywhere. We are in the studio Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific. Call 775-241-3571 then for quickest response, Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific. We thank our callers this week, Lee Donnett and Lee again. Not Battleborn to Tech? No worries. We will adopt you. Leave your application at 775-241-3571. Give us a good tech challenge or a time to call you back to record some tech help for a later show. Call us in studio live Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific. For consulting and tutorials, visit your local neighborhood computer shop. Carson City's Library Tech Busters every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Carson City Senior Center's Tech Help with Michelle, Ray, and Jim midday most weekdays, or a computer users group like CarsonCityLinux.org, meeting every third Saturday at Computer Core in Carson City. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. Break as in laughing before a prank, not break like office chair rollers on April 1st. Our engineer is Joe Bly, who takes pride in never being pranked, even when it's not April 1st. Produced by Christy Ramsey, who has to decide if he should give out sincere condolences for the improbable tech snafu or congratulations on an ambitious April Fool. It's hard to tell these days. Our thanks to Anthony, our ex-post factor chuckle, who responds to any improbable April Fools by calmly offering it to patch it. Notice some of our jokes are courtesy of Claude AI by Get Revenge by asking it how to fix a 418 error using JavaScript 418. Support paywall and ad-free content by donating at kmvc.org by clicking the button in the top right corner and give Battleborn Tech a shout out in the comments. Our email is questions@battleborn.tech. That's questions with an S and tech with T-E-C-H as the top-level domain. Our latest links are bbtl.ink/stats. Get the links you missed there. This has been Battleborn Tech, a registered service mark of Christy Ramsey. Carefully review this episode or speed listen to the ones you missed at knvc.org in the local program section or bbtl.ink/shows. Have a neat week and tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific right here on KNVC FM 95.1. That's a wrap on the jokes and the Java. No more pranks, no more error codes, just music. KNVC 95.1 rolls right into High Desert Music, showcasing original songs from right here in Northern Nevada. No tricks tonight, just the real deal. Local voices, local talent, local sound. It starts right now.